Present God's word as we should, realizing that it is the only God that we have. God has given us his word. We realize that it is what is going to judge us on that last day. And so as we, as always usually say and previously say, if we ever hear any of us preaching or teaching anything that is in contrary to God's word, please be our friend and bring that to our attention. Because our goal is to be in heaven with our Lord one day, and we believe the only way we can do that is by hearing to God's word 100%. And that is our goal here. So I pray that as we continue to look in God's word, we're going to continue to understand why we do what we do. I've been presenting a bunch of lessons on the foundational things, on why we do what we do. Really understanding that we have to have authority for those things. And I'm still going to be presenting some of those. Now today I'm kind of going off another path right now. I've come across a lesson that our brother Larry Rouse, evangelist in Auburn, Alabama, has preached on, called The Curse of Balaam. And I want to kind of speak on that ourselves this morning as we look into God's Word and looking at the curse of Balaam and what's happening because of those things. And I want us to understand. We need to understand ourselves that one person can do much good or one person can do much harm to the people of God. That's why I had Lawton just read a few moments ago there in Jude. If y'all wanted to go ahead and get your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Jude again. We're going to look into those things here where we see how much harm can be done by one person. But we need to understand that so every one of us, we need to be building up every member. Every member, we do realize as us here as the body of Christ, it is not the building here. We do realize us that the body of Christ is the members here of the Lord's church. That is the body of Christ, us. Each and every one of us here, as members of that Lord's body, we build up the Lord's church. And so we should all be building up one another. We need to understand what potential each of us has. We continue to strengthen, to encourage each other. We need to be watchful, though, because the greatest threat to God's people pretty much always comes from within. From within the church. So we need to be careful with those things. And as we mentioned here, I think the Lord, He wants us to really understand. He wishes us to understand that we be aware of men like Balaam that we're going to be looking at this morning. But there in Jude, we've seen it was just read there. In Jude, starting there in verse 10, talks about, "But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah." I brought a lesson, it's been about a year or so ago, on the rebellion of Korah, and that was really enjoyed putting together that lesson and understanding there how that one man here caused all Israel to sin and the damage that was come because of that rebellion that Korah has started there. And we understand the dangers here. And even talking about here now of Balaam here, talks about how those who have run greedily in the air of Balaam here for profit. If we're going to look into Balaam, we're going to see those things and how much damage one can cause and how much we need to be on guard for those who have got this type of attitude that are amongst us and how much damage can be done from within. We need to be on guard for these things. When men lose control of their hearts, doctrine does not matter anymore. Once men lose control of their hearts and they're not seeking after God no more, then the doctrine to them no longer matters. The only thing that matters to them is their self. That's what driving them is anything that they want. They want their way. We cannot have that type of attitude. These men will in time, they will leave a local group. But the question is, who will they take with them? We've all seen many things happen where men, it's because strife, and cross contentions, and they have split the congregations and destroyed works all because of attitudes that we're looking into this morning. So we have to be careful. Because not only do we have to be on guard for those amongst us who may have this type of attitude that we have to be on guard against, but we have to also be on guard against our own self, our own hearts. Realizing that we ourselves can fall into this same greed here that Balaam here had, this same type of attitude here that Korah got, wanting power, where it just caused so much corruption amongst the children of Israel and so much death come from that. We have to be on guard for ourselves. We're going to first look at here now Balaam. Balaam was at one time a faithful prophet of God. Here, this can be a legitimate debate here about this. But I want us to look there in 2 Peter. He is called a prophet of God there. If y'all will, go ahead and turn to 2 Peter. There in 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll look at right here of Balaam, mention of him. 2 Peter 2 in verse 15 starting. It says, "They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet." So here we see that he is called a prophet here. We can look there in Deuteronomy 23 and verse 4. We can see that he was a Gentile who lived in Pethor in Mesopotamia there. Just kind of getting some background here on Balaam here in Deuteronomy 23 there in verse 4. "Because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you." Here we have where he's from. And so he's also though in Joshua. This is where some of the confrontation may get here on this. In Joshua in chapter 13, he's also mentioned as a soothsayer here. Joshua 13 and verse 22. "The children of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, among those who were killed by them." So death did finally come here to Balaam. We see he is called as a soothsayer here. He offered sacrifices contrary to the law. Contrary to the law, he did. He did know how to offer sacrifices that were contrary to the law. He was a prophet who spoke the words of God. We're going to see that here in just a few moments. But I believe later on he became that soothsayer because he no longer was willing to speak what God had. He was going after his own selfishness. His own greed led him to where all he was after was his own profit. And so we see what led of him. But he accurately spoke of the character of God. When you look here at Balaam, he was the one as a prophet here who accurately spoke of God. He knew the character of God. Let's look there in Numbers chapter 22. Just kind of getting all this information, I want us to understand here the type of person here Balaam was. But in Numbers chapter 22, Numbers 22 there, starting in verse 18. "Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." Balaam here, we see his attitude here. He understood here that if Balak here, the king here, was to give him his whole house full of silver and gold, he could not go beyond the word of the Lord his God. We see his stance here that he first took here. He understood that. He understood he had to speak what God gave him. There in verse 38 looking, same chapter, 22 and verse 38. "And Balaam said to Balak, look, I have come to you. Now have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak." He understood that the words that God gave him, that is the words that he had to speak, nothing else. He could only speak what God gave him. We see here Balaam. We see him taking that stance here at the very beginning, taking that stance as he should. He also clearly recognized the folly of fighting God. There in the next chapter, in verse chapter 23. If you would look in Numbers 23 and verse 8 now. He says, "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced?" He understood he could not go against God. He taught that God is not like a man. He's not subject to him. He's understanding these things that there. Look on there in chapter 23, there in verse 19 now. Chapter 23, 19 and 20. "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Who does this sound like? This sounds like a true prophet of God who understood God. He understood he could not fight against God. He could not go against God. So what happened to Balaam? We're looking at his attitude here. Balaam was a prophet here. He lost control of his heart. He was a man here, a prophet here, that lost control of his heart. Balaam here, he has similarities to Judas here. We know Judas here who betrayed Jesus. Judas preached. Judas was the only one that worked the miracles. But Judas also had a hidden sin that started where? It started in his heart. Started in his heart, and it grew into actions. There in John chapter 12 there, we see the actions here of Judas here. John 12 we spoke of here in starting in verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who will betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Well, it sounds like Judas here is really worried about the poor, doesn't it? So now Judas has a real sincere heart here. He's really worried about those poor folks. But look on there. This, verse 6, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this day for my burial." So here we see what kind of person here Judas was. He did not care for the poor when he spoke those things. All he was worried about was his own greed. We see here Balaam here. We see his heart. He's losing his heart now. We see the stand that he took. We see him speaking the right things. He knew he could not fight against God. He knew he could not go against what God says. But yet, let's look on farther into the story. We need to understand ourselves. We ourselves need to be careful. Just as we finna see Balaam here and how he lost his heart, we also can lose our heart, or we can be carried about and be carried off in the wrong path and leave God, as we see here Balaam did. We think about ourselves. God will allow His people to be tested. We spoke about this many a times. We think about the purpose of a test. Think about the purpose of a test that God gives us is to expose our heart, to help us out. And you think about when we're taking tests from school, it's to help us to find out what we do know and what we don't know, to help us learn from those things. And we do it through our test here. It helps expose our heart. It helps us to draw closer to God. The faithful Christian will fail some tests. We all realize that. We've all here have failed tests that has come up against us. We failed tests. But when we fail those tests, does that open our eyes? And does that lead us to repentance, to realize that I have failed my God? I want to become better. We even look here, if y'all will look with me, Luke chapter 22. We're going to look here even Peter's failures. But I want us to look from it though. In Luke in chapter 22, starting in verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." It's kind of an interesting story here. Just look at this right here in Peter. When he says there that Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to put you to the test, Peter. But Jesus says, "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." But look right behind that when he says, "Hope your faith." He says, "But when you have returned to me," the Lord already knew that he was going to fail this little test. But he prayed that his faith would not leave him. He prayed that when he come back, when you return, that Jesus is praying here, and he wants him to strengthen the brethren. We understand here. This was a test here to Peter. We understand that Peter here has failed this test. But we also know the story with Peter when he come back to the Lord. He realized what he'd done when he denied the Lord there three times. But when he come back to the Lord, he did exactly what the Lord here asked him to do. Strengthen the brethren. That's what he did. Brethren, we may fail tests. We need to use those tests to help us. We need to use tests that we fail to help strengthen each other. We need to strengthen one another. We need to be on guard against this type of attitude that we see here in Balaam. Balaam was called upon by a king who offered up great riches. In Numbers 22, if y'all will, turn with me back to Numbers. There in Numbers chapter 22. This is something that was thrown up him that was a great temptation. In Numbers 22, backing up here to the first of the story. In Numbers chapter 22, there in verse 5. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come up from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are sailing next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." Here we see them. The king here is calling here, Balak here is calling, sending for Balaam here to come up. And he's offering him. Look there in verse 7. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with diviners' feet in their hand. They came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. So he sent here with money for him, trying to get Balaam here to come, curse the people of God here. He knew what he was. He knew he was a prophet of God. Balaam was called upon here. He's offered great riches. Balaam's reputation came from God. Balak did not know God here. We're going to see here this type of attitude. Elijah made it very clear. You look there in 2 Kings. Elijah made it very clear that prophets were not for hire. We see the attitudes of Elijah here, the prophet of God, when money was offered to him there in 2 Kings 5, verse 15 and 16. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his age. This is Naaman here with leprosy. He returned to the man of God, he and all his age, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Elijah here refused. He knew that he was not for hire. He served the Lord. There was a great conflict now in Balaam's heart. He had to make a choice here to put this worldly desire that he had to death, or he could give in to it. A clear stand here. With ourselves, we think about this. We got to have a clear stand. We must stand for the truth. Balaam knew the truth. He knew what God required of him. God has done spoke to him on these matters. God has told him. He knew who God was. He knew how God's character was. But yet, he's battling a conflict now that's in his heart. And he's not making a clear stand here. We got to make a clear stand against temptations in our lives. We have to make a clear stand that we're not going to stand for those things in our lives. We're not going to have those things that's going to tempt us, that's going to make us stumble. Balaam would not be satisfied with the plain response that God gave him there in Numbers 22. If y'all back there in Numbers chapter 22 there in verse 12, God has answered him here. That Numbers 22, starting in verse 12, God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you." And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore please come, curse this people for me." Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. There's a mistake that we've seen with Balaam. All this honor and all these things have been thrown upon him. But yet we see, he made a stand there. He cannot go beyond. He has made a statement, I cannot go beyond what God has told me. But we see in Balaam here making this great mistake. This first outward step here that he has given here. Because he wanted to know what more the Lord would say to him. When God's word is really hard to understand. Men can then make plain applications here like God has gave him something very plain. Has told him specifically what to do. But some are like children who will not take no for an answer. When we tell our children no for something. They're not going to take no for an answer. They're going to throw tantrum tantrum. We've probably all seen this in grocery stores where a kid throws a tantrum and then a parent just gives in. Well, God is not a pushover parent. God will not just give in to our needs and give in to what we want. But Balaam here has stepped out and he wants to know now what more the Lord's going to say on this matter. This is a driving force among worldly religions. Not just taking God's word and what it says and holding it firm. Wanting more, want to satisfy their self. We see here, but all he's after now, Balaam now has lost his head. By not being satisfied with what the Lord had revealed, God's anger now was kindled. In mercy, God does attempt to turn the heart of Balaam here. But now he's caught up in his passionate obsession. Obsession has its own reality, its own concept of waiting. Obsession cannot see the future and its consequences. Balaam knew the consequences of not obeying God. He has spoke those things. Balaam now is showing the characteristics of a madness. He is no longer thinking as he should. He has lost his heart. He's lost his head. His donkey speaks to him and he is unfazed by this. Look there in chapter 22 again in verse 27. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. We need to understand the story here now. Balaam has asked, well, let me ask the Lord what else he may do. And so God has told him that he could not go unless they come call on him again. Well, he just got up the next morning, saddled his donkey and went with them. He saw he wanted to go with them, so he's gone with them. And now the angel of the Lord is ready to kill him. Look here in verse 27. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw an angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside for me these three times. If she had not turned aside for me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live. Here we see the madness here of Balaam. His donkey here has spoke to him. We see a man who seems to be unfazed by this, who just answered the donkey back. He is not. He has lost his mind. He's lost his heart. He's lost his head. Now all he's worried about is his greed. That's what's driving this man. He wants to praise. He wants money. That's what he's after. Balaam speaks only what God says. The temptation now is growing stronger for him, though. There was a reason God told him not to go. The idols now of the heart must be destroyed. We cannot play middle ground with our own little idols in ourselves. Because you never know, the idols may win. And we're going to see here now, Balaam does give in. God's people were cursed by Balaam. Those who are among God's people can do great damage. We read about how Israel was cursed. You're going to read there in Numbers 25 real quickly. Numbers 25, 1 through 3. Now Israel remained in Achaia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. We see here, Balaam found a way to get his money here. We all know the story of what happened to Balaam, though. We read earlier. God is in control. We need to realize that. Even though he cursed God's people, you look back in Deuteronomy. Flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 23. We see here, even though Balaam spoke of here in Deuteronomy 23 and 4 and 5, because they did not meet you, backing up to verse 3, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, the Pether of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. God's in control. But we need to see here Balaam. Balaam knew how to attack God's people and sold himself to God's enemies for money. He knew. Balaam taught Balak here. If y'all look there, we'll see that in Revelation there too. Balaam, he taught those things. In Revelation chapter 2, there's a few more scriptures I want to look at this morning to see this type of madness. In Revelation chapter 2 there, starting in verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Here we see Balaam here. He's lost his head, lost his heart. Now he's taught Balak here how to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. He knew how to bring them down. When I'm thinking about these things, we all understand what kind of damage can be caused from within a church. A lot of great damage can be caused from attitudes, as we see, such as Balaam here. We have to be careful. Don't ever let ourselves get caught up in this type of attitude. Don't ever flirt with temptation. Don't ever let those things, and we try to entertain those things. We don't have those idols before us. We see the danger that it causes. He brought the people of God here down. But God still blessed the people. What kind of God that we serve? He is a forgiving God and a merciful God. But there was consequences for those things. You might think about ourselves, and you think about Balaam here. How he was defeated here by this money and this greed that was driving him. It might not be money, or it could be all kind of other worldly things that's driving us. Maybe we're just wanting growth in numbers, so we're willing to give up on what God's Word says, and we're willing to just do whatever it takes to get people in these doors. God has given us His Word. That is all we have to offer to people in this world, is God's Word. That is what we have to offer. We have nothing else to offer. We are to give them and teach them the gospel that we have in His Word. We have to hold fast to His Word. We have to make sure that we're going to stand with God's Word no matter what. We cannot contradict God's Word. We cannot question God's Word. Those who are dissatisfied with Bible authority, they stir the passions of the unstable people, to stir them up into strife, conflicts. We cannot go against God's Word. When God speaks, we must listen. And we must speak only when God has spoken and told us those things. We look into God's Word. That is what we teach. I cannot go out there and teach what Philip thinks and what Philip thinks would be a better way to do things. We have God who knows all things. He knows what's best for us. Let us teach His Word. Let us use His Word to help mold us into what He would have us be. Do not neglect to accept, thus says the Lord. Just as Balaam did. Balaam understood, I cannot go against what God has said. But he did. He understood he shouldn't, but he did. He neglected that. Thus says the Lord. We've got to be watching out ourselves. To conclude the lesson, let us destroy all idols that's around us, all these idols that's controlling us. 1 John 5:21, it talks about little children, keep yourselves from idols. We are to keep ourselves from idols. When you think about idols, you say, well, what kind of idols do we have? Well, turn me to the last scripture I'm going to look at, Colossians. If y'all will, turn me to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, let's look at something it says right there in Colossians 3 and verse 5. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All these things here we mentioned here, this idolatry here he's talking about. Sometimes we don't think about these things, do we? As being idolatry. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. These all are desire. What did Balaam have? He was coveting. He wanted those things as greed. He wanted those money, the things that his king had. He wanted those things for himself. He wanted to praise the men. Men and people, that's what they strive for. They just want praise. When you look at Korah and the rebellion that he caused, he wanted that same power that Moses and Aaron and them had. He wanted those things. We've got to be careful that we don't have those things in us. We got to realize that we're here to serve our Lord. We're here to please Him, not to serve ourselves. Let us put to death those members of the flesh. Let us look to God. Let us be on watch for those men that we just spoke about here, like Balaam. Those who have an attitude at doing these things. We cannot have it. We've got to be on guard to help one another, to stay away from that type of attitude. We've got to learn to be more selfless every day. We've got to be those who are just striving to please God, who has a heart like our God has. We want to have that same spirit in us so that we can truly be His children and so we can be pleasing in His eyes. I hope I've encouraged you this morning with this lesson and thinking about those things. There's much that we can do. It can be harm or it can be good. Are we going to be used for the good? Are we going to be used as instruments of righteousness for our Lord? Or are we going to let the devil use us for instruments of the evil? The choice is ours. I hope we pray, hope and pray that each and every one of us would always strive to serve the Lord. We may make mistakes. We may slip and fall. We may be as Peter did, who denied the Lord. But yet, when he realized what happened, when he had that godly sorrow that's led him to repentance, he come back and he strengthened the brethren. We need to be as Peter was. We're going to fall, but let us pick ourselves up. Let us repent of those things. Let us learn from those things so that we can be who God would have us to be. Let us learn from our lessons. Let us learn from God's Word for those who failed multiple times. The attitudes that we see that they never should be in us, as we see as Balaam there. There might be some here who need prayers in the congregation for whatever reason. We offer up an invitation now for you. Maybe some here want to become a child of God now. You have that opportunity. You have an opportunity. If we can help you now in any way, we want you to come now. We stand to sing. A song has been selected.